Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This series on community has brought me to many different memories in my life, and one of the most incredible memories that I have was my first visit to Germany, where I had a feeling that this was another homeland for me. It was very surprising and, of course, very startling for an American to go to Europe and to have some kind of feeling that I was at home. It was a similar feeling to when I treated myself with Reiki, or I assume when I initiated people and they said to me, "Well, I feel like I've come home." My connection with Germany is very deep, and I love the German language and know a little bit about it. But one of the things that was really also very supporting for me during the first years of my mastery was to be a part of the German community and to participate in the early beginnings of the German student gathering in Gersfeld now. We also had many master meetings, and community just seemed to be a part of the way of life there. And the value of that was enormous. Sometimes we could name the values, but mostly they were unnameable. They were not expressible by language. It was a feeling of finding another person in a kind of strange forest who did the same strange thing, and we were together. And somehow, in that commonality of strangeness, we found normalcy. And I know that this sounds really crazy, but back in those days, in the 1980s, Reiki wasn't very well known, and we all felt a little bit like strangers in a strange land. Or at least I will say I did, and many of my American and Canadian compatriots. So we'll find out if this actually was true for one German person, one German master in the community back then. And because today we're going to have Jürgen Kindler as our on the show and as our interviewee. And Jürgen, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome, Phyllis. My
Thank
pleasure to be here.
you. Great. So you took Reiki in one of the first Reiki classes, I think, in Germany, and I'm just wondering, what was it like for you to enter into this practice, and did you feel a little bit like a stranger in a strange land at that time?
I did several self-assessment groups in the beginning, or the self-awareness raising groups, and in one of those groups, someone said he wanted to send Reiki to someone. At that time, it felt very well. At that time, I never have heard about it,
Right.
but when they did it, I was told to close my eyes, and there were two of them who sent a distant treatment. It felt like I want to do this. So in my personal environment, I felt like drawn to it, so it didn't feel foreign. But at that time, Reiki was like known to no one. And I noticed because when I became a master in 1989 and I started to give Reiki classes, I used to go into esoteric bookshops and to tell people what is Reiki, because there was like no knowledge about it, and I needed to tell the history, and I gave them some hands-on treatments, and there was, I think, one book just there from Bodo Baginski. So it was really esoteric in the meaning of the word that it was known, not known to the public.
And was that exciting for you?
Well,
Having,
for me it felt totally natural. So I'm maybe a bit untypical for the time, because but I felt I wanted to learn this, and at that time I lived in Frankfurt, and the only master in Germany teaching at the time, this was 1986, was Brigitte Müller, And she then did a class in Hanover, which is 300 kilometers from here. And so I traveled there. That was like no problem. And later I found out that she lived in Frankfurt, so I could have done it here. But anyway, so... Yeah, so at that time it was like common to travel to do Reiki.
Yes, yes. And when you first took Reiki, did you have a sense about being in a community, or were you sort of a Reiki person out there on your own, or both?
Well,
maybe I didn't give you the right choice.
So, you know, because the people in, because I took my first degree in Hanover, I didn't connect too much to the people there. They weren't not with the group I did the self-awareness raising groups with. And so I didn't connect too much to them. So with Reiki, I felt on my own. But I think I went to Brigitte Müller here in Frankfurt for exchange treatments. But only 3 months later, I took second degree, and with this group, because it happened here in Oberursel, which is a smaller town out of Frankfurt, I connected with the people there, and we traded distant treatments. And so I had my small Reiki community there. But I really entered into community when I first attended. You're preparing class for Reiki Masters, at those times a self-assessment workshop as well.
Yes.
And there were like, I think, 25 people there who wanted to become a Reiki Master, and this was like my peer group and my community I was then connected to.
Uh-huh. And what was the value of this community for you?
Well, we shared the same experiences of, you know, Reiki, and then later teaching Reiki. And, you know, in those days, you didn't pay too much attention on educating people into with classes. So I got the initiation from you, but nearly no knowledge how to do a class. And my first degree was 3 years ago. So I came up with calling several Reiki masters, how do you teach classes? So... And I knew them from the self-assessment group in this, where you, you know, for this master's group.
Well, that was really good.
Yeah, I was happy, yeah. I think Yula was one of those who...
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, the good news is that it's very different now, but, you know, back then I thought, I know that we just thought that if you... were initiated as a master and had practiced Reiki, you would figure it out, I guess. I had no idea what our philosophy was back then, but it was a very, well, I mean, I guess trusting would be a really good word to say, that we trusted that people would be connected to Reiki and that, you know, the classes would just come forth and all will be well. I don't know if I have such a distrust right now, but I certainly make sure that people have some inkling about what to teach anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. So that was good community support. And I'm wondering, when did you start going to other groups? Like, did you go to a master's gathering or something like that shortly after that?
Yeah, there were in Germany. There were master's gatherings, and I showed up there. I don't know who actually initiated them and who was that. So anyway, but there were master's gatherings, and I was there then very frequently.
And was that supportive to you, like energetically as well as informationally?
Yeah, in both ways, of course. Yeah, and but you know, as in most gatherings, there was just to hang out with people who are of the same kind,
mm-hmm.
who know what to do, and also there were in those times the challenges that there are other lineages at some point and people doing crazy things with Reiki, and so we had our group of people who shared the same values.
And so when were you aware, though, Or did you become aware at some point in your life, in your early life with Reiki and as a Reiki master, that there was value in having your students belong to a kind of community, even though it wasn't a physical community, as in a community in a village or a community in an organization, but it was a kind of loose community called the Reiki community?
Here I have to take a longer route, because when you asked me about doing this interview, I thought about community. And so the first thing I thought is that the community is not for everyone, because I have students who basically do the Reiki initiations with me, and then sometimes they connect with me again, and sometimes they are just on their own. They do Reiki for themselves, and maybe have one or two Reiki friends or friends who have Reiki, and that's it. They don't come to my exchange gatherings. They don't come to Reiki gatherings in a wider scale or anything else.
Right.
So that brought me to the idea that for some people, having a Reiki community and also participating in it is actually a path to explore Reiki.
A path to explore Reiki,
I see the different degrees and the symbols and the different elements as different vehicles to get to know more about Reiki.
Uh-huh. Right.
And you know, it's, with some people they are with the healing aspect, and with some people they are at the mystic order aspect, and for some people it is community.
Right.
And they go to gatherings, and they organize gatherings, and they, you know, love to talk to other people about their last year, how it was, and that's really important to them.
So, what about you? Has it been important to you? Has community been an important part of your Reiki life?
Oh yes, very, very important. I organized then the German student gatherings together with friends for a long time, and I published several newsletters. I did one especially for Reiki masters. This is a long time ago, and now long time not happening anymore. And I initiated and I founded the Reiki magazine, and that's also a kind of community, the readers. And I have a big Reiki community, and not only in Germany, but also in general with the Reiki Alliance in those days. And for me, it's important.
I'm really interested in your starting to gather the masters, not just in Germany, but the German-speaking masters in the different countries in Europe. And I'm just wondering, what was your motivation to do that? That was kind of a call to community from you that felt very potent at the time. I'm wondering if you remember what year that was.
I don't remember which year it was.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, at that time I felt like, you know, that lot of gossip is spreading around. It's people started not to talk to each other. They just said, oh, I heard that this guy is doing this or this woman is doing this. And so I felt like, well, one should have a gathering and talk to each other. So if there's one in face-to-face communication, one can clear up things and talk directly to each other.
So that's one reason why you founded the magazine.
Yes. But also, that's also true for the...
That's not correct. That's why you founded the Reiki Masters Network, or what was it called?
The Reiki Meister Rundbrief newsletter.
Right, the newsletter, right.
Yeah.
So that's really great. And did that actually occur, that people were able to... or did you have the, that people were able to stop gossiping and actually address each other directly?
Yes, that happened then, yeah. That happened to both the meetings and the Reiki and the newsletter.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I wasn't really able to read it because my German isn't that strong, but it was very neat to know that this newsletter was going out to different Reiki masters and that people were really participating. I felt like that was a really wonderful thing. So did you go from there to then the sort of Reiki magazine that was actually for the public?
The magazine happened on happened by coincidence. A friend of mine had a magazine about different qi traditions like Tai Chi and Qigong and so on, and they made special issues about Reiki, and they asked a friend of mine, Simone Grassoff, and me to actually do those things, because at that time I did the Reiki Meister Rundbrief, this Reiki Master's newsletter. And so, Simone and I thought, what should we write about Reiki? But when we finished it, we did one special issue, which sold very well, and then they asked us to do a second special issue with this, and this sold also very well. And when we finished the second issue, we found that we still had lots of material. So I thought, well, maybe I should do a Reiki magazine. And it came to that I finally did the Reiki magazine.
Uh-huh. And how long were you working with the Reiki magazine?
11 years.
11 years. And so then what happened to it after that?
Well, I felt like I need to go on to do other things. And so I gave it to Oliver Klatt, who is now publishing the German Reiki magazine.
Uh-huh. And did you find that this magazine is just mostly distributed in Germany, or is it really through the German-speaking countries of Europe?
Yes, it's always German-speaking, and of course German originated, but it's sold in the Austria and in Switzerland.
Yeah, I always had this because there was also at one point a Spanish newsletter, a Spanish magazine, and a Dutch magazine, and I had this wonderful feeling that the world of Reiki was going to be joined somehow by all these magazines going to different countries. Like, I know that there's a really big German population in Chile, for instance, and they speak and read German as their main language. And that's also true here in the United States and in Canada. So I just didn't know if there was any possibility to spread the magazine through the language, or if it's really in Europe. So I guess that most of the readers are in Europe. So in the 11 years that you were publishing the magazine, what was your sense of the movement of the community? Did you sense that they were there were realizations within the community, that there was a developmental process within the community? Obviously, in those 11 years, they were very significant years, in the sense of that I felt like Reiki was coming kind of out of the closet and into the mainstream during those 11 years. And I'm just wondering, you know, did you feel like you were keeping your finger on the pulse of the community at that time?
Well, one big issue when we started were the different styles of Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And so we again try to inform people what other styles are about. We just made reports on different people who, like Walter Lübeck, who is in Germany and practices Rainbow Reiki. And every once in a while, when a new style was there, and we found that this is of value, because there are lots of styles who just, you know, done by a few people, but when they keep gather more participants, we at that time reported about them. And so people had first-hand information and didn't need to rely on rumors or whatever. And over the years, I think that really settled the issues which were there.
Uh-huh.
And that is, I think, really something we achieved. And after 10 years of the Reiki magazine, we did a big festival or party or event. We did a big event, and that was in Berlin at that time, and we invited people from all different styles to be there and to celebrate, that's the word. So we at that event, they came together to celebrate the Reiki magazine and also the variety of Reiki. And as an aside, we arranged, and it happened that the leaders from the different styles met each other.
Uh-huh.
And because the communication sometimes wasn't so good, so they didn't know each other, so they just had hearsay about each other's styles, and now they met in person. And that actually inspired Frank Dörr, which is a student of mine, a Reiki student of mine, to have his Reiki conventions, which is since 2 years another gathering in Germany, and it's in and there all those different leaders from the or teachers from different Reiki styles come and teach their style in very short workshops or talks.
Uh-huh.
And this has happened this year now, the second time, and I think it's very successful. Last year it was 60 participants, this year it was already 100, and I think next year it will be sold out very fast.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. I'm really hoping to get Frank in on an interview for the radio show. So we'll just hold that space open for him. And in the meantime, it feels like there are community. That, first of all, that when we were first doing Reiki, that there was like this Reiki community that was kind of amorphous. It was like it was very general. And felt like everybody belonged. And now it feels like that the Reiki community is getting large enough, and maybe we're maturing enough to be able to come together in what we might call special interest groups. And I think that Frank's group, it might be called a special interest group because they have some focus on, is the word professional? No.
No, just different styles.
But they formed a Reiki organization.
Yeah, well, that wasn't Frank, but it occurred there.
Oh, so I see. Right. Uh-huh. So that wasn't the actual gathering. That was something that came out of the gathering of the people who were there.
Yeah, well, actually, that happened already before that, without the Reiki convention gathering, but
uh-huh.
This people did their first presentation at the Reiki convention.
Oh,
so,
I see.
It was very well received there and supported there from the people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So did you answer the question about going back about in the 11 years did you feel like you had your kind of fingers on the pulse of the Reiki community in Germany, and did you notice any movements or any differences through the years?
Yes, and I said one of the things were like the different Reiki styles and that they mean
all right
get more to acknowledge each other. And the other thing which really happened is that in those years Reiki really went mainstream. And I know because we collected the articles in the press about Reiki. In the first year it was not very much, and they were mostly from the regular medicine, and they were not very fond of Reiki. But then it came into the wellness area, and lots of people practice Reiki, and then we had such occurrences that that this word were used in riddles as a solution to fill in and so on. So then we knew it is really mainstream, and almost everyone now knows Reiki at least as a name, as something which does healing.
Right. And so did you feel that the community became more... maybe I could say this, that the community became less of they came together less to be together because they were different than other people, but came together more to celebrate or to, just enjoy each other's company.
Well, I think this was also true in the early years.
Uh-huh.
But now, Reiki wasn't so alien to the rest of the society. So in the early years, maybe there was more pressure to meet because one really needed a peer group because It was so unusual and so esoteric. Nowadays, it's just okay to do Reiki, and people really come together because they like Reiki and they met people already on the last meeting and want to meet them again. They often only meet them once a year, and then they, in the breaks, they share and talk what happened to them in the last year.
Uh-huh. So do you see this as a something that will continue, or do you know what the future of these gatherings is going to be? Like, it just seems like that there was a great need to come to community, and a lot of the gatherings were at their maximum year after year after year. And in the last, I would say, maybe 8 years, that has dropped off a bit, so that the people who seem to be coming to gatherings are more the core people who really find value in community. Would you say that's true?
I think it's true, but my analysis goes in, maybe into another direction.
Oh, yes, good.
Why it is so? I think in the early days, because it was so uncommon for people to take Reiki, they really needed a community to share, and also very special people were attracted to Reiki because they really needed to be brave in some extent, or
right.
in some regards, to really take this because it was so not known. In those days, people just take Reiki on the holidays as a two-day thing, and then they practice it maybe a bit and maybe not, and so it's not so in their central life anymore as it used to be.
Uh-huh.
And so they do yoga and other practices and whatever, and so it's not that central in their spiritual life as in the old days, where people really needed to do a big step to learn Reiki. And so, as you said, only the people who really think Reiki is their path, their main path, go to gatherings. And so maybe the gatherings changed over the years very much.
Uh-huh. Well, because of who I am, I am often asked to come to different gatherings, and I find for myself that I feel like I want to give more than just a general information or general impression about what Reiki is to these gatherings, because I feel that they come together for a deeper purpose, and I am struggling sometimes to find out what that deeper purpose is, and what is it that I am called to give when I go to these gatherings. So it's been an interesting big question mark for me, and maybe this is a little bit of the of a clue that the people who see Reiki or feel Reiki as a path are those that are now coming to gatherings, and are those who would be open or maybe even seeking some way to deepen their practice.
I agree to that. And for me, one of the things which really is maybe the most important on Reiki gatherings is the treatments which we do together.
Uh-huh.
And like we do that in the German Reiki gathering in Gersfeld, we do it in a certain way so that we all do the same hand positions at least once at the meeting. So we do have one session where all do the same hand positions. And we have we do it in quietness. And that is for me always a very deep experience of Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
which for me goes into this aspect of mystic order, because it's I can hardly speak about it, but I feel very nourished if I do this.
Right, right.
And it's not about talking. The talking is also important, but it's doing. It's doing it in the same way and with, let's say, 150 people who really are in this room and focusing on Reiki. That's very special to me.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a big hint. It's like I remember a gathering I went to up in the north part of Germany, and there was a spiritual group that was running this retreat center, and they caught me one day as I was eating a meal or something and said, "Well, what do you do, you know, when you're doing your treatments?" And they knew a little bit about Reiki, and I said, "Well, you know, we're doing Reiki." And they said, "Well, you know, we just want you to know that we know that this is your real work, that the times where you all are talking is about, and the work that you do is the treatments." And at that point, that was, I think, in the early 1990s. And at that point, I was, I thought, well, that's really an interesting observation. And I hear the observation again echoed by you today. And now I just see that sometimes I forget this. And, you know, I think that someone will utter a magic word and we will all go deeper. But in fact, because it is an individual practice, the treatments takes all of us to wherever we need to go in that moment.
So when you say this, I have the radical idea of doing a basic to a radical another kind of gathering, which is well, given that there's 8 hours of meeting time a day,
yeah,
doing 4 hours of Reiki, you know.
Yeah, why not?
And then, you know, just arrange a bit around it, like talking and exchange and, of course, eating and everything. But, you know, have this the main focus, practicing in different forms, distant, hands-on, uh-huh, you know, sitting and on the table, everything.
Right. Well, you know, I did a little weekend workshop one time called the Sanctuary of Reiki, and basically that's what we did, was a lot of practice and a little bit of talking, and it is going to inspire me to do the same thing this next year, because I feel like this is where we're moving to, is to focus more on the practice. I can remember in the early days in the groups that you first came to called the self-assessment workshops, which would have been a perfect place to do Reiki every day. We hardly ever treated each other.
Well, I find it important when, you know, there are gatherings, and also here when we founded the Reiki Professional Organization in Germany, you know, to do at least something every day with Reiki, you know, send distant Reiki to a problem or just to this group, and because that really changes the energy and supports us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's neat. So one of the things, one of the values or one of the gifts of community is to be able to come together and to experience treatments with a number of other people. I find that I suppose that some metaphysician or esoteric person would be able to tell me why this is, or well, at least a theory. But I notice that I treat myself and I'm alone, and the energy feels different than if I'm treating myself in a room where there are 20 other people treating themselves. And when I treat someone, you know, in a gathering, and the gathering has, you know, 50 people in it, that means that there are 25 treatments going on, then the energy feels different than if there's 150 treatments going on. And would you say that's your experience also?
You said it's different, and I would agree to it, because I wouldn't say it's better. It's something I don't want to miss, as I don't want to miss my single treatments alone.
Right. So it gives us a kind of spectrum of the experience of these treatments. But, maybe it also kind of evokes the question, so what are we really doing together when we come together in community and we treat and we have this experience of the greater whole? That's how I can just express it with language. I'm just wondering what your experience is or how you could express it.
Well, one big value is socializing, which is important to, well, I would say 95% of the people.
No.
So, just to meet people on the dining table and just talking about what happened in the last year, and then there's someone else, some other fellow who had something to say to this, and this is good medicine. So this is really one important thing which is happening in these gatherings. And then also maybe some teachings, like if there's someone who's talking, like when you come to the Reiki gatherings and inspire people because you have a special view on what's happening in Reiki, and so it's inspiring. But for me, it's also, and I think for lots of people, it's a Reiki treatment.
Right. So I get back to my question. So is there some place that we're going in these experiences of group treatment that is showing us another horizon besides our own personal practice?
I would say it's we are not consciously going there, but if we could try it out, because it's not so often happening that this is really that is really valued, that the common treatment is something special in the Reiki gatherings. But one could stress it and see, well, we just do three or four treatments in a gathering, treatment sessions in the gatherings, and see what happens if that is really good or
Right,
better.
right. Well, yeah, I mean, good and better are difficult words, but I understand what you're saying. If that
Yeah, well,
really
so.
makes, if it really takes you to a different place, I would say.
Yeah.
Because for me, this teases this phrase of mystic order. That's what I was trying to get at. That's like there's for me in this experience of treating with 150 or 200 other people, and these are treatments, so that means there are at least 400 people in the room. That the when that happens, the energy gets so thick that you can't really deny it, and I feel like it takes you to a different takes everyone in that room to a different place, far beyond what we experience or what I experience in my own personal practice.
I agree.
So, what is mystic order for you? Or it, shall I ask it in a different way?
Okay, ask it differently.
When someone says Reiki is a mystic order, what does that mean to you? Or how do you connect to it?
Well, it translates very in different kinds of ways in the different languages. So what people do, one is they think about monastery. So, and people living together and doing Reiki every day or giving treatments to other people every day. So that is actually not where I go with it. For me, mystic order is when we experience mystic things in a community. And one example for me is actually really when in Reiki student gatherings we do Reiki with big groups, like 150 people or so. Then that's really for me a mystical experience where I get a deeply belonging feeling to this group and to other groups who have done this before. So that's very, and that really gives me the impression that I belong to a group.
However, your description of, the monastery is a little bit like what happens on the weekends, where people come together, they live together, they eat together, and they do Reiki together. And it's a little bit informal in the sense that there's not so many rituals. And Paul Mitchell does something called the silent retreat, which I understand is a bit more like a monastery practice. But I feel that that's a kind of outside piece that's interesting to mimic. And I'm wondering what the inside piece is for us. Do you understand my question?
Well, when you say outside and inside, what that triggered in me is usually what happens on Reiki gatherings is we are on the outside. So I present myself to others well, and I listen to what others have to say. So what Paul does in his meetings, gatherings, when he is not speaking, you are forced to look inside. And for me, that's happening if we do Reiki, because we do not talk. So I need to listen what's happening without words. And that for me then guides me into a totally other direction.
And what is that direction?
Well, that's where the mystic part comes in, because for me also mystic means to me that it's hard to talk about.
So then we come up against being difficult to express, and we're in a talking interview, right?
Right.
All right.
So maybe you do a series about mystic orders in a year, and then I have more words for it. But right now, because there's not much happening right now, there's like the student gathering, and that's it. And I have it sometimes in gatherings where I feel like, but I only have it if I'm not talking. So when I'm in a gathering and do a walk, then I have a somewhat mystic experience of belonging to a group or, whatever, or breathing with one group or whatever. But when I talk, I don't have this. Because then I am in another realm. Then I'm in my, quote unquote, head and think and so on and so on.
Interesting.
So the idea of Paul not talking, or maybe there are other, ways to enter this other room, would be supporting the mystic order or the experience of it.
Right. Well, one of the great gifts I feel of Reiki is that we get to depend on our own experience. So, I feel like what we're talking about is an experience that we can't express in language, but we know is there and we have it in common. And, just looking at another strategy of how to produce that effect or go to that place is not talking and doing treatments. It's an interesting prospect to think that in another maybe 10 years, the body experience of and the spirit experience of mystic order will be so prevalent in our community that we may actually have language for it. Is that something that you anticipate?
I don't know. Well, could be.
I mean, well, it'll be interesting.
The problem is when you put, sometimes if you put things into words, they get lost. So I don't know if it's good to have mystic order be worded.
Right. I totally get your sentiment and actually have this big question mark myself. It's like, do we really want to be able to talk about it, or can we just be it? And I think that's a huge step for our community, because in the last 30 years, I don't know if it's because I've been a talker, but we and all the forms have talked a lot. And I'm interested to see what will happen if we quiet down.
Well, talking will be there every time, but to maybe I would rephrase it. I would say, well, talking is happening anyway, but have more space for not talking and more being.
Right, right, right. Well, it kind of confronts a lot of my ideals about community. Like, aren't communities about doing something? And when I look at some of the monastic communities, I realize that they're really not about doing, they're about being. And it's so odd to imagine a community of being. One of the gifts that I received on my 60th birthday was a gift from a friend of mine. It was a DVD called The Great Silence. And it's a DVD of kind of a day in the life of a group of monks in France whose order is about silence. And one of the things that always struck me in this, in watching the DVD, and when you go into the DVD, it's like you think, well, this could be boring, but somehow you're drawn into their silence. I mean, that's how potent it is. And after the watching this movie, you don't want to talk. I mean, it's very interesting. And so what we did was we watched the movie, then we went to lunch. And we went to lunch together, and we weren't supposed to talk, but it was so difficult because here are all these people around you, and you instantly want to communicate to them, right? So what the monks did for most of their meals was that they had them in their rooms apart from other people. And then I could really get why they did that, because it's not the focus was not about socializing, but it was about being in the energy. And that was, you know, a new concept to me. So I'm kind of still taking that in and interested in how this could be brought into the Reiki community. You know, I guess little by little.
Well, I when you just talked about this, I thought, well, we have one practice. This is Reiki exchanges, Reiki treatments, and I just had the idea, well, why not do a second degree distant treatment together? You know, when all do this kind of same ritual to do and connect and to do the treatment, and maybe one, you know, maybe there needs to be a meeting where one tries out things.
Right. Right.
You know, come together and say, well, let's practice to be in the energy and trying different techniques and ideas. And I think that will be interesting.
Right, right. Well, it's kind of exciting for me. I'm doing another weekend in the UK next year called the Sanctuary of Reiki. I'm just was asked today if I would write a little description of what we're going to do. And I have a feeling that this interview has really influenced me a lot.
Well, tell me the date.
Yeah, I will. Oh, dear. So we have a few minutes left, and I think that one of the things that's also missing and sometimes are talking about the challenges of community. And I'm wondering if you have run into any of these that you would like to share with us.
Of course. well, one of the things which really happens on meetings is I do Reiki in a certain way, and there's someone else who does it differently.
Uh-huh.
And to deal gracefully with this is really an ongoing challenge for me and for other people. In the early years, there was like only the practice of Sushikiri Yoho, like your practice or how we do learned it at that time. And then people initiated like first, second, and maybe even the master's degree in one weekend. So then there was a big rumor, and then those people came to the meetings. And so now what? You know, how do I talk to them? How do I tell them that I don't like this? Or do I just, you know, yell at them or whatever? So we had all those kinds of solutions to deal with those situations. And over the time, the community and the single people in there learned tolerance, listening, because most of the people have good reasons why they do it that way. They learned it that way, or they have made certain experiences that they changed the system or whatever. So, and this really developed over the years, but still it's, sometimes it's a big step to, talk to each other, in loving kindness and still have, still hold your own opinion.
Right. That's the difficult part. It's like, it's a little bit like we get defensive and protective because somehow we think that rubbing shoulders against somebody else who does it a different way is going to rub off on us. I don't know why that is. It's a very weird human kind of response. It's like, you know, another culture moving into your neighborhood and freaking out that it's, you know, you're not going to be German anymore. You're not going to be, you know, whatever anymore. It's very strange. But I think as one of our challenges, just as being human, huh?
That's it, yeah. And so Reiki gives us an opportunity to develop here.
And are there other challenges that you've run across beside this one?
Well, no one that I can think of right now, which comes to me.
Well, I have one that just came up. Actually, I answered my own question. And that is when I first, because the German student gathering in Garsfeld was one of the first big student gatherings that I attended. And, you know, it's one of the sort of characteristics of the German culture to be on time and to actually to be so on time that you're actually early and to, you know, be organized and to have a system and so on. And I have to say that there must be a wonderfully active German part of me because I just wanted to have everybody like be in their chair at a certain time. And if we were going to create a certain ambiance or atmosphere to whatever we were doing next, then everybody had to be doing the same things and so on. And I really got into my control thing really badly for a few years. And, you know, Wanya Tuan, in the very beginning of my Reiki mastership in the 1980s and early 1980s, Wanya would, who is a master initiated by Takata, I would go visit her and we would be doing, you know, healing circles. And her kids then were about 12, 13 years old. And they would like run through the circle with all of their friends, you know, just like a herd of pre-teenagers running through it. And then they would run upstairs, turn on the TV really loud, and we would have to listen to the TV while we were sending distant treatments to all these people. And one day I asked Wanya, I said, can't you control your children? And she said, well, why should I do that? And I said, well, because, you know, it breaks the energy of what we're doing. And she said, well, if it does, then that's your problem. And I thought, well, you got a point there. My control issues still came up. So I had this, you know, this experience in one part of my brain, but in the other part of my brain, I really wanted to control everybody because I wanted him to have this certain experience. And, you know, when I was in this student gathering, one of the things I learned was I can't control. I actually want to let go of that because if I have this concentration of controlling, like the guy sitting next door to me talking to his neighbor or somebody else coming in late and disturbing my treatment or somebody not changing hand positions at the right time or somebody saying something that I feel is stupid or, you know, all of those things, what happens is that I lose myself in the moment. Like, I'm not present. I'm outside of myself trying to control all these people. And it was a huge lesson for me. And I see that going on in gatherings in small ways and in large ways of, you know, what is the balance between allowing people freedom to come to the, you know, the meeting when, you know, kind of in Santa Fe, I call it God's time, whenever they, you know, kind of get it together to get there. And also be respectful for all the other people who are there, who showed up and want to start their meeting at a certain time. So I think that's a really interesting issue that has to do with community respect and discipline. And I use the word discipline not in a punishing way, but in a way that means that we are thoughtful about other people in a way that we choose maybe differently than what we would do ordinarily.
I totally agree. Yeah, lots of practice in gatherings. Yeah. And I think you have a special viewpoint because you travel so much and see different cultures. So you have maybe more more observations to share, you know, what works, like, you know, this one, Yatwan, the story, or, you know, other things, which wouldn't occur in Germany so easily.
No, it wouldn't. Which was a relief for me, I have to say. But it was great training. I mean, Wanya taught me a lot about sacred space. She just said, you know, you create the sacred space. And if you and everyone there is creating the sacred space, then nothing can disturb it. And I feel like these are really good words of wisdom to take with us, not just in a Reiki gathering, but in all the rest of our communities.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Great. Me too. So I try to live by this little story, but sometimes it's difficult. And the other thing, another thing that comes to me is somehow being confronted. I think when I go to gatherings, there is always one person that sort of is the gathering. It's like, let's see, how do I want to say this? There's one person that irritates 90% of the gathering. And this person ends up receiving a lot of projections about who that person is or why they're so irritating or so on. And what I find, I have two things going on for myself in this situation. I find myself as a facilitator wondering if I should protect the other people from this person, and I've given that up. That happened fairly early on. And the second thing is to really see that person as the teacher in that gathering rather than the irritating factor in the gathering. So it's always this very interesting dynamic of not just tolerance, but actually of letting that person in and knowing that that person represents an energy that's in the gathering that is personified in him or herself. Do you find that to be true in gatherings?
Well, I don't especially have this experience that this isn't happening in every gathering, and I certainly agree that gatherings are a possibility to practice one owns letting go of projections.
Uh-huh. Right. That's definitely true. So it's a challenge, and a lot of people don't go to gatherings, I think, because of that, because they find it very difficult.
That's true. Yeah.
But it is the gift also. So it's a great learning experience for everyone. Well, Jürgen, our time is about up. Do you have any words of wisdom for those people who are interested in going to a gathering but need to work up courage?
Well, if you need courage, buddy up with someone and go there. So you have your own small community within the community where you can work through it.
Great advice. Thank you. And thank you very much, Jürgen, for your time.
You're welcome.
Yeah. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.